Just going to read from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. On Wednesday, I received a message from Andrew to say that he was unwell and he was not going to be able to speak this Sunday. And Andrew asked if I was able to give the message, and I accepted. And we continue to pray for Andrew and Joanne and the others in the fellowship as well who are unwell at this time. But accepting to speak today posed a problem for me because it was relatively short notice. What was I going to say? How was I going to prepare for a message this Sunday? But I remember in the Bible it says, nothing is impossible with God. And as I asked the Lord's help on what to speak about, the verses that I just read earlier, Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, came to mind. Now, during the pandemic, no other verses of scripture had an impact on me as much as these verses in the book of Habakkuk. In fact, I'd even go as far as saying that during the pandemic, it was through reading the book of Habakkuk that I had a whole new God-focused perspective on what was going on in the world that really put my mind and soul at rest. So this morning, we will have an overview of the book of Habakkuk and then look at these verses in more detail and see what lessons we can learn. Now, the book of Habakkuk is a wonderful book of scripture. The book is presented as a conversation between Habakkuk the prophet and God. So in chapter 1, the verses that Dan read to us earlier, Habakkuk complains to God. Habakkuk says to God, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Now, we do not know the exact time when Habakkuk lived, but it is clear that these were not nice times. There appeared to be a lot of wickedness, a lot of violence, and a lot of injustice. And Habakkuk was very distressed about this, and he prayed to God, but he did not appear to get any answer at first from God. And maybe sometimes you feel like this. Sometimes you are calling out to God to help you in a particular situation, but nothing seems to change. It seems to you that God is not answering your prayer. Then in chapter 1, verse 5, the Lord answers Habakkuk. And it says there, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. And then in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 5 to 11, the Lord answers in a way that Habakkuk did not expect. The Lord says to Habakkuk that he is going to send the Babylonians. Now, can you just imagine Habakkuk's face when the Lord answered his prayers in this way? Habakkuk was there complaining about the people of Israel, and the Lord's answer is to send the Babylonians, who are even worse. And this is a real lesson for us today. Sometimes when we pray, the way the Lord will answer our prayers will not always be what we expect. We have to remember we worship a God whose ways are far more superior to our ways. And the Lord will not always give you the answer that you expect. So if you are a believer, be prepared for this in your walk with the Lord. So we see in Habakkuk, we see Habakkuk was not really happy about the answer the Lord had given him. So in chapter 1 and verses 12 to 17, and then into Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk complains again. He says, "O Lord, are you not from everlasting?" Habakkuk remembers God is holy and pure. Habakkuk says, "Lord, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. Lord, you cannot tolerate wrong." Habakkuk asks, "Why do you tolerate the treacherous?" And Habakkuk asks God, "Why are you going to use the Babylonians? They are destroying nations without mercy." Habakkuk cannot understand God's plan and God's answer. And the Lord answers Habakkuk again. The answer that God gives is, although he is going to allow the Babylonians to take the Israelites into exile, the Lord also answers Habakkuk and says that he is going to judge the Babylonians. They are not going to get away with what they are doing. Their time will come as well. And when you read into Habakkuk chapter 2, you will see the Lord makes it very clear that he has not overlooked the sins of the Babylonians. And the time will come when the Babylonians will also be judged by the Lord. And this really is a great lesson for us today. Often, particularly at the moment, we are seeing terrible injustices in the world. And this can often make us ask the question, why is the Lord allowing these people or these regimes to get away with things that are so wrong? So it really is reassuring to read Habakkuk that the Lord does not overlook injustice, and a time will come when people will be judged. And in chapter 2, there are 5 sins that the Lord identifies. So if we look in Habakkuk chapter 2, and we see first in verse 6, the Lord says, "Woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion." And then if you carry on reading in that chapter in verse 9, it then says, "Woe to him who builds his realm with unjust gain to set his nest on high to escape the clutches of ruin." And then in verse 12, it says there, "Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime." And then verse 15, "Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskins till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies." And verse 19, Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, wake up. Now, a good way of summing up the sins of the Babylonians is as this. We could say one, theft and trying to control others. Two, greed and gaining things unjustly. Three, violence. Four, drunkenness, lust, and corrupting others. And five, worshipping idols. Now, in these verses, the Lord identifies specific sins which the Babylonians were guilty of committing. And the Lord makes it clear that the Babylonians will suffer for these sins. The book of Habakkuk reminds us that we worship a God of justice. And what the Lord said about the Babylonians then still applies to us today. God will judge those who live with a Babylonian attitude. The Lord says he will bring judgment by those who are driven by greed. And this was one of the major sins of the Babylonians. And even today, people are driven by greed. And then God moves on to say that he will judge against injustice. And today we see so much injustice in the world around us. Only yesterday we saw the situation unfolding in Sri Lanka, where thousands of people stormed the presidential palace. And the people were angry because of the unjust way the government there had been handling the economy, which has now resulted in food and fuel shortages. And the president was forced to resign. God says in the book of Habakkuk, be sure your sins will be found out. And the fifth woe is the judgment against idolatry, the worship of false gods. Now, in the time of the Babylonians, it was the worship of idols made of wood and stone. But today, people continue to invent new idols that can replace God. Pleasure, comfort, money, power, houses, cars, careers, sport. Many of these things are not bad in themselves, but it becomes an idol if these things become more important to you than God. And God will silence those who worship idols by showing the emptiness of the idols and showing that God alone is the living and true God. So the book of Habakkuk is very practical for us today. God says he will judge us if we live our lives with a Babylonian attitude. So what should our attitudes be like as we come to the Lord this morning? Are we filled with pride, with greed, with idolatry? Or do we see our situation as one of being utterly hopeless? That we cannot stand before God unless we are clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Habakkuk is good because it's a short book, but we can see there is a real change in Habakkuk from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. At the beginning, Habakkuk is complaining, Lord, why is this happening to me? Lord, where are you? Lord, why are you silent? And I'm sure many of us in the week that's passed have often felt like this towards God. But by the end of the book, Habakkuk came to understand that he worshipped a God of justice. Habakkuk came to understand that he worshipped a God of glory. Now, one of the biggest sins against God in the 21st century is the way that we minimize God. And even in the church, many of us do not realize the awesome power that God has. And we only have to read the Old Testament, and there we can see the awesome deeds of God. The nation of Israel had lost sight of the glory of God. And in chapter 3, Habakkuk remembers all the glorious things that God had done for Israel. These were God's people. They had been taken out of captivity in Egypt. Habakkuk remembers God saved the Israelites over the plagues and the pestilence in Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. God was a light to the Israelites and darkness to the Egyptians. And our dear brother Dan has reminded us this morning that God should be our light. And we read about all these things happening in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. And Habakkuk also remembers how God had given the Israelites the land of Canaan. And we read about this in the book of Joshua. So as a fellowship, we should not lose sight of the glorious things God has done for us in the past. Now in January 2021, we celebrated our 90th anniversary here at Donington. And in those 90 years, the Lord has taken the fellowship through many challenges. I remember one Sunday, and this was probably in the early 2000s, and we only had 3 people attend a Sunday morning service. Our dear Sister Anne, I believe, was one of those people. Irene, I think, Anne's nodding there, and I think Bill Dean as well was the visiting speaker. And the service went ahead, and I remember Irene, I believe Anne has also told me, that it was an enjoyable service. Now, in the eyes of the world, many would regard 3 people at a church service as being a sign of decline. A sign the church has no future. But we know in Scripture the Lord Jesus said that where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. And the service on that Sunday morning took place for God's glory. So when you have problems, do not despair. Do not think that there is not an answer to the situation. We worship a glorious God. And the fact that the Lord has sustained us as a fellowship and for all these years, and we should not forget about this. And we can respond by remembering to give God all the glory. And sometimes it's important we remember the things that God has done in our lives as individuals too. Sometimes we have to recount the things that God has done in our lives, which shows his love and glory and power. Habakkuk's words need to be our words. So my question to you today: is God more glorious to you than anything else that the world has to offer? Now, Habakkuk also sees that God is a God of salvation. Habakkuk finally sees he's not special by anything he has done. But Habakkuk realizes time and time again in the past, God has saved his people Israel. And in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, you came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. Now, this is a reference to King David, but it was also a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, who can renew us, the God of salvation. So in this wonderful book of Scripture, we have this important verse, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The righteous will live by faith. Now Habakkuk understands what this means. This is genuine faith. Habakkuk has come to an understanding. He worships a God of salvation. And it's an understanding that gives him hope. So the question for us today is, do we have genuine faith in God? And so many people will say, yes, I have faith. But when trouble or hardship come our way, often our faith can be tested. Now, when I bring messages, I often use analogies of going to the gym. So I'm not going to disappoint anyone this morning by bringing yet another gym analogy. But when you go to a gym, what I find is that there are often two kinds of people. You often see people in there who are there for an hour and they're exercising for the whole hour. And then you have another person that will go to the gym, and in that 1 hour, they're talking to their friends, and then they're on the phone, and then they might talk to their friends again. And then that person, at the end of that 1 hour session, they might have only done a 10-minute jog on the treadmill. And faith, I think, is a bit like that first person in the gym. Faith is active. To make the most of your faith has to be active. If God says, go, be prepared to go. And sometimes you might pray about a particular situation or something that you need to do. And the Lord presents an opportunity and you do not take it. And we need to then remember what it says in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. You have to live by faith. And this is living by faith in good times as well as bad times. You still have to live by faith. So can you say with Habakkuk today, even if there is a war, I will live by my faith. Even if there is hardship, I will live by my faith. Even if I do not have a job, I will live by my faith. Even if my marriage is not going well, I will live by my faith. Even if my health is not good, I will live by my faith. Now, it's not easy to live by faith. We can often be weighed down by the pressures of living in this world. It's important we take time to find out what is going on in the lives of friends and family and people, even within the fellowship. And it may be that a word or a deed from you can actually help to bolster the faith of others. And if we live by faith, we also have to be able to say, just as Habakkuk says in chapter 3 and verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And this is what faith is about. Faith is active. Faith is not just, oh, hallelujah, I have faith. If you have faith, God will test your faith. So as a fellowship, we pray that we will continually live by faith, just as those who established the work here over 90 years ago. The righteous will live by faith. When those that started the fellowship, I'm sure they had no idea what the future held. And there have been so many world events that have taken place in that time. But they trusted in God. The righteous will live by faith. And I encourage you brothers and sisters this morning to live by faith. Because we live in a changing world. Who would have thought there was going to be a global pandemic? The world changes all the time. But we should always live by faith in God, whatever is going on around us. And we cannot despair about what is going on around us. Just as Habakkuk did, we must put our faith in God and live by our faith. So if you are a believer today, I encourage you to continue to live by faith. Whatever happens in this world, whatever happens to you in personal relationships, in your job, in your finances, in your schoolwork, or even what is going on globally or politically, God is in control and He is working out His purposes. We worship a God of justice and a God of glory. And if you are not a believer, I encourage you to read Habakkuk. It's a short book of the Bible, but it's a book that points to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are reminded of our sinfulness. And we can all be guilty of sins such as greed and putting other things before God. And we need someone to save us. We need a saviour. We need the Lord Jesus. And if the verses in Habakkuk, "The righteous will live by faith," sound familiar, it's quoted by the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 38, where it says, "But my righteous one will live by faith." The reality is there are really only two ways to live. We can either live by faith in the Lord Jesus, or we can live by faith in our own understanding. And my question this morning is, which path will you choose? To live by faith in the Lord Jesus, or to live by your own understanding? The Apostle Paul also made reference to this important verse in the book of Habakkuk in Romans, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. And it says there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So this morning, if you are a believer, I pray that you will continue to live by faith. Remember what the Lord has done for us as a fellowship. Let it encourage us. Remember what the Lord has done for you as an individual. The times you thought to yourself, you are in the mire and there is no way out. And the Lord Jesus took you by the hand and took you out of a difficult situation. We worship a God of justice. We worship a God of glory. We worship a God of salvation. And we pray that more and more people will continue to come into this place and worship. And we pray that many will live by faith. And we pray that in this place, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, will be glorified. Praise God. Amen.